Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
All right, audio cut of the day coming up here. By the way, I did figure out the host gets easily confused. The golf show is actually at the end of the month. So it is at the St. Charles Convention Center, January 31st through February 2nd. We'll give away tickets each and every day this week. I'll, from now on, know where the golf show is. For whatever reason, I had in my mind that it was this weekend because I want to go to the damn thing and I'm out of town this weekend. My friend John Ziegler back with us. He is the host of the Death of Journalism podcast. I listened to his podcast today, the new one, which deals with a lot of the fallout from the California fires. Zig, welcome back. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Mark.
Where do you, before we get into some of this, remind me of the geography from where you are, and you've been safe in areas that don't have fires, correct?
Well, I mean, we've had fires here. Our house is fine right now. I live in Ventura County, just north of Los Angeles. Okay. We had catastrophic fires about a month ago that really went right up to into our neighborhood, but thankfully we were okay. I've had in-laws in other parts of Los Angeles have been evacuated, but thankfully they are so far okay. But obviously, this has been a catastrophic event of unprecedented proportions here in the Los Angeles area.
So, you know, I was talking about golf here just a minute ago. You are a very good golfer, and this area, Pacific Palisades, that's not too far from Riviera Country Club, right?
It's right on Riviera Country Club. As a matter of fact, I mean, I'm astonished that we haven't heard that the PGA Tour event scheduled for Riviera next month has yet to be canceled or postponed. I just don't know how in the world they could possibly have it. There's been no word on whether that's going to happen. I've been to that area many, many times, having played and attended events at Riviera Country Club. And Pacific Palisades is a typical area, as you know the area pretty well. You know Los Angeles. There's so many areas in Los Angeles where you go and you go, wow, this is beautiful, but what the heck are people doing living here? And that it's like a ticking time bomb situation. And to me, the strongest analogy to be made to what has happened here is really Hurricane Katrina, where that was a ticking time bomb, where New Orleans is built under sea level, and eventually you were going to have a perfect storm that was going to cause what happened after Katrina occurred. And I think we've had a similar situation here in Los Angeles, and the perfect storm was that we had no rain at all in December, and then we have almost historic Santa Ana winds in January, which normally would not cause a problem because the ground would be wet, because this is the rainy season, but we haven't had any rain yet in this rainy season, and that combined with an awful lot of institutional incompetence in this state led to the perfect storm of catastrophe.
And we'll get to that here in a second, but let me just ask this. So last Tuesday, a week ago today, I subscribed to the LA Times. I saw the story about the wind conditions, and instantly I told Fred, I said, this is going to be potentially really, really bad out there. Now, I never, ever envisioned anything like we've seen in the Palisades and Altadena and beyond that. But how much buildup in the media before Tuesday was there for this potential, you know, disaster, John?
obviously hindsight is 20/20, but I have no recollection of there being any sort of massive alarm bells going off. And obviously, and it's not just retrospect, because you just cited it right there. This did not take, you know, the proverbial rocket scientist to figure this out. You know, if you have no rain through December and then you have massive Santa Ana winds from the desert in January, there's going to be a problem. And there was no sense of urgency in the media, and there was no preparedness. The mayor of Los Angeles was abroad, and it's obvious that nothing extraordinary was done to prepare. I love now that both in Los Angeles and in the State House in California, they're bragging about how prepared they are for this week's winds. And I'm like, well, okay, that's great. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
Right.
You know, that's a bit too late. And it proves, by the way, that preparation does matter here and can make a massive difference. And so I think you make a really good point that there was nowhere near the sense of urgency, either in the media or among the authorities, that should have been there because of obvious, very unique circumstances.
On your podcast, The Death of Journalism, you highlighted this, and I played this audio last week, and I think a lot of people heard it. It went a little viral when, you know, there's a discussion about water not being in fire hydrants.
The real issue to me is twofold. We've had decades to go remove the brush in these hills that spreads so quickly.
So that's Rick Caruso, and he tells his story.
Gigi Graciette, she is live in Pacific Palisades. I know your signal's not the best, but Gigi, what can you tell us?
Well, firefighters have told me they have no water on this block, and you may be able to make out the ember storm that we're in the middle of right now.
Well, I skipped one of the sound bites there, John, because I wasn't trying to play the entire audio, but basically Rick Caruso is on with a station out there. The anchor comes on afterwards and basically says, hey, we've got no confirmed information that there's no water in the hydrants. And then the reporter comes on and says, actually, we do have confirmation that there was no water in the hydrants.
Yeah, and Rick Caruso is an important person in all this for people who are unaware of Los Angeles politics. Rick Caruso should have been the mayor of Los Angeles, would have been the mayor of Los Angeles, and this is important, if the Democratic establishment had not come in at the last moment and basically said, and this I'm paraphrasing, but this is not far off, look, we have to go with Karen Bass, she's the black female, and therefore we can't go with a white male who's straight, you know, and Barack Obama came in and supported her, and the LA Times supported her, and she won by a rather narrow margin by Los Angeles standards. And it's pretty clear to me that Rick Caruso is eyeing the next mayor's race, which is next year. And I would love, I mean, I got to believe somebody is going to do a poll rather shortly here in Los Angeles to see where the mayor's race currently stands. And I would guess that Rick Caruso would be winning by a substantial margin right now, given what has happened over the last week.
Well, and even the LA Times owner has deep buyer's remorse and went public with it, saying he's
that was
shame,
amazing.
Right? Yeah.
I have to say that if there's been any sort of political earthquake, that's the best evidence of it, that the owner of the Los Angeles Times has really sounded almost like a Republican in the last week. And clearly is someone who's pleading for common sense solutions. And, you know, I'm a pessimist by nature, Mark, but I actually think there's an opportunity here for common sense to prevail, mostly because there's a massive political incentive for it to do so. I mean, there are so many elements of this situation that work in that direction. You got a mayor who's in big trouble. You got a governor who's termed out in 2 years and wants to run for president. You got the Super Bowl coming here, the World Cup coming here, the Olympics coming here in 2028. There, it's almost like it's the unstoppable force of political self-interest going up against the immovable object of liberal insanity. And it'll be interesting to see who wins. I'm not positive because it's, you know, no one has lost a lot of money betting against liberal insanity in California.
True.
But I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance here that they realize they have no choice but to knock off the BS and to allow capitalism the magic arm of capitalism to save Los Angeles from the current situation.
But, John, how do you recover from this? And you addressed this in the podcast, and I thought it was interesting because you just admitted you're and I'm the same way. I'm a glass half empty guy, right? And you talked about Adam Carolla, and he's been talking about very pessimistic that California, with all the insanity, with all the bureaucracy, that, you know, there won't be, he's predicting, a legit cleanup or rebuild. You kind of take an optimistic view. I'm shocked by that, Zig, but explain that.
Well, because I'm a big believer in self-interest, and I'm a big believer that the reason why California is so insane is because we're a one-party state with no real legitimate news media, and so therefore, you know, Democrats are basically like animals in a zoo where they have no opposition and they really don't have to fend for themselves. Well, now all of a sudden, those circumstances have changed. And I'm not suggesting, by the way, that all of a sudden California is going to go red. That's not going to happen. But I'm talking about specifically the two people that are maybe the most important here, Mayor Bass and Governor Newsom. They are very, very much incentivized to get this thing together. And by the way, and you are an expert in this, you know, because you're a movie guy, the timing of this whole thing for this city in some ways couldn't be worse, but in maybe in a weird way couldn't be better. Because if Los Angeles was riding high economically, the movie industry was in good shape, the TV industry was in good shape, maybe there wouldn't be the imperative to make sure we get this right. But I really do believe, and this sounds hyperbolic, but I think it's true, I think this is an existential threat to Los Angeles. If Los Angeles does not drop the BS, and this does become, like Adam Carolla is saying, a 5, 10, 15-year operation, Los Angeles is done as a major city. It's done. It's over. Because there's no reason for anyone to live here anymore because the business has completely changed. Movies aren't even being made here anymore.
Oh, that's right.
And, yeah. And if there's no tourism here, there's no reason other than the good weather, which is arguable and you know, like we've seen over the last couple of weeks, gets intermittent you know, disasters attached to it. There's no reason for anyone to live here. And or to work here, and especially in this world where you can do Zoom meetings and what have you. So I just think that there is a huge incentive, an imperative, to not screw this up. That doesn't mean they can't screw it up, because these are dumb people, a lot of them. But I'm a big believer in self-interest, and the self-interest here is very, very strong.
What's going to happen, do you think? You mentioned the rainy season, which is, you know, supposedly about to kick in or should have kicked in. But, you know, we now hear there's no vegetation. It's been burned off. So mudslides become an issue, right?
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I've always felt that that's overrated. You know, that's a media narrative, and I've been living here for 22 years now. And, you know, yes, there's some element of truth to that, but at this point, mudslides would be welcome. We need some damn rain. You know, I think we're in grave jeopardy because, I mean, I look at this very, very closely. I'm not just because I care about the weather as a golfer and we go to Yosemite every year for our vacation and that determines, you know, how much water there's going to be in the rivers and in the waterfalls and what have you, but also because the global warming issue, the climate change issue. So I am very well in tune with this, and I think we have a chance to maybe miss the entire rainy season this year.
Wow.
I mean which would be really problematic, especially come next fall when we still haven't had, because if we don't get any rain, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I think there's a chance we get almost no rain by the end of February. Then the rainy season's over, and it's not going to rain for another 8 or 9 months. So this is a potentially bad situation.
How many of these things, you know, they're talking about the causes, and maybe it was fireworks from New Year's Eve for the Palisades, but you can't help but think, because some of this stuff has been caught on video, et cetera, that there's numbskulls out there that are trying to light fires and make this even worse, and I'm worried about that in the next 24 hours.
Well, I think we had a situation near where I live where, you know, this didn't get much publicity, but the Dallas Cowboys training facility almost burned to the ground last night, not far from where I live. And I'm convinced that that had to be because of a homeless person, given the circumstances surrounding that situation. I agree with your take on the Palisades fire. I've seen the video evidence that the San Francisco Chronicle has put together. It makes it seem pretty clear that, bizarrely, what really transpired here was a New Year's Eve, potentially a fireworks-induced fire that everyone thought was out, that laid dormant for 4 or 5, 6 days and then reignited, and that's what actually caused the Palisades fire. None of this is ever global warming. It's either homelessness, arson, accident, electrical wires and winds. It's always man-induced,
right.
Always. And I think that we're seeing that's the reality here as well.
Zig, one topic off the fires, although I think you said, just to be clear, point of clarification, you said the Dallas Cowboys training facility. You meant the Rams training facility?
No.
You mean the Cowboys?
No.
Why do they have a facility out there?
Come on, I'm not.
Well, no, I know, but I was confused, though. Why do they have one out there?
The Dallas Cowboys come to Oxnard, California every summer for their training camp because it's a lot cooler here.
Yes.
We have this amazing microclimate here in Ventura County.
Got it.
It's a lot cooler than in Dallas, Texas.
No, I knew that they do training camp. I just, far be it from me to even think
Dallas
that you
Cowboys, Oxnard, California.
Well, so my topic was going to be about the Cowboys because I know that you got to pop off on this, and I haven't seen anything on Twitter. Coach Prime to Dallas. What do you think if it happens?
Wow. I mean, that would get how many hundreds of hours of ESPN coverage would that produce? I don't know if it'll work football-wise.
No, it'll be a disaster, but it'll be so entertaining.
I don't know that it'll be a disaster. I mean, I am conflicted about Coach Prime. There's a lot about Coach Prime I like. There's a lot of things that he says that are actually fairly conservative. You and I have never talked about this, but I actually think Coach Prime, philosophically, is a closet conservative.
I agree.
And, you agree with that? Okay.
Yes, he says yes.
But on the other hand, you know, there's a lot of things about him that I'm not really sold on, and I actually think his team was a bit of a fraud this year, and I think his quarterback might be a bit of a fraud, and I'm not 100% sure that Hunter deserved the Heisman Trophy. But if it were to happen, and here, in my opinion, the biggest hurdle to something like this happening is getting to first base, right, where both parties are interested, and it seems like we're at first base.
Well, yeah, with McCarthy, you know, getting out, because the story was that the Bears were interested and that the Cowboys said no, but then yesterday McCarthy's out, and he's going to talk to Chicago, and it looks like Jerry wants Dion.
Well, if you're Jerry Jones and you only have a few years to live and you need a coach and you want attention and you want a spark – this is the way to do it. So, you know, I think there's probably at least a 50-60% chance this happens, and that's all we're going to talk about in the National Football League, at least until next October.
It will be entertaining. Yeah, it'll be entertaining for sure. Hey, I like the new episode of The Death of Journalism is out there right now. John talks a lot about some of the DEI stuff and all the stuff. We didn't even really get into that, but good job on the podcast. Happy New Year. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, thanks, John.
Get more at 971talk.com.